Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball. Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin.
Welcome to it, where you do it thanks to Sea-Doo. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. We were lucky enough to have Mark Spud Carroll take some glamour shots of himself on the Sea-Doo in the scungies and send them to us also. Looking great, big fella, in the sluggos. You look fantastic, whether the Sea-Doo's on land or sea. Now, before we go any further, Hoops, you've got something for us.
A couple of videos of the big Spudley too, launching up on top of waves and getting airborne on the Sea-Doo. It's like something.
It's like Magnum PI or something, isn't it?
Baywatch.
Yeah, Baywatch. That's one I was looking for.
Now, as we just round out Maroon's pub trivia from the previous segment, so Matt from Collaroy back in touch with the program again. Uncle Pat didn't particularly take too kindly to what he felt was a very insincere shout-out that you've just thrown over the airwaves there, Anthony. So he's gone to the old VHS collection. He's grabbed a copy of Rocky. he's put it in the cassette player, and he's currently watching Rocky. He's got the focus mitt out, fit mitts out. He's doing a little bit of shadow boxing in the lounge room. He's even put some tracking pants on.
He'll dislocate a hip if he's not careful.
Hairline fracture of the jaw has completely recovered, and he wants a
crack
date.
At me.
He wants to set this thing up.
Well, as soon as I finish with Tom Tate, I've been actually at home working out on the bull worker. I've got one of those old bull workers.
I've got faith in you, Anthony.
And mate, I reckon I could take on Uncle Pat.
Do you reckon you could do a Let's Get Ready to Rumble? You know the famous. I reckon you could do that.
Yeah. Is there a quid in it?
Because
there is if you're any good at
if
it.
If there's a quid in it, I'll practice it and come back.
No, let's copyright it.
Well, let's practice it.
Let's copyright it.
Yeah.
It's copyrighted.
But he can just bring up his own.
What?
Let's get ready to my routine.
Let's get ready to my routine.
Now, stretch.
All right, boys. Well, at least I've been in a gym in the last 5 years, Gordon. Now, the Origin game up there on the beautiful Gold Coast, as we like to call it, Fortress Robina, the only team that are worse at home than they are away, the Gold Coast Titans. But anyway, this is where the Origin game's going to take place. And it's a game where Mitch Moses gets his first crack at halfback for New South Wales. Whiten comes into 5-8. I've got a feeling he's going to have a big game, Jack Whiten. How do you see the game, Gordon? Is it going to go 3-0?
Oh, look, obviously New South Wales have everything in their favour, haven't they? We know that they've got injuries at the moment. They've got so many wonderful players to pick from. Their centres, and most of their players are in really red-hot form, and they're fast. Like, one thing I've noticed out of the two games is the speed that the New South Wales players can play at. I like this Queensland side. We've got a bit of attack, and Tabuai Fidofidou. One thing that no one likes playing against is raw speed, and he's got that. So
I'll tell you something that is worse than raw speed. It's Tom Turbo.
Yeah, I know.
You'd rather play against speed than Tommy.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, Capewell got him in one game when he turned in a little bit, so he'll have to sort of watch it a bit more because I tell you, defending speed is harder than anything else. You're just nervous, and I know he's young, but at least we're going to have a crack, and the series is gone, so we get the blood some young kids and see where we are as a state and fast track a few guys. But I just hope that we play. I thought that in game one we were outplayed, and New South Wales thoroughly deserved it, and we closed the gap in game two. How much more of the gap can we close in game three?
The thing that I think's been overlooked by a lot of people in this whole series is the fact Queensland, for all the majesty of New South Wales scoring 76 points over the two games, which is enormous, Queensland have only scored one try in two games. Now, this is a better attacking side. Ponga's going to bring a lot. But that New South Wales defence, there were several opportunities in game one and game two for Queensland to get over the line. And even when the result was done, the game was nearly over, New South Wales was still scrambling, still defending. They were unbelievable. And that's the other part that I think really stands out about this New South Wales team. They've only allowed one try in two Origin games, and that's very hard to do.
Like, Queensland got over the line four times in game two.
Yeah.
I think Kyle Felt got across twice. Xavier Coates goes and dives. It's the best defensive effort I've seen from a New South Wales side in a long, long time.
Yeah. And that's the concern, because not only have they got a New South Wales team that has got so many points in it, but they also defend those points. And so New South Wales are doing it on both sides of the ball at the moment, and Queensland haven't done it on either side of the ball.
It's like a famous man once said, it's like digging a hole. You've got to do it, so you might as well enjoy it.
A famous man said that, yes.
Speaking of digging holes, Matt from Collaroy has been back in touch with the program again. He said, P.S. Anthony, I dug a hole last week.
Did he really?
Yes.
I must say, I find that hard to believe.
You'd like a lot of sincerity, that shout out to Uncle Pat.
Well, I mean, the bigger issue is here. Can you picture this bloke?
You've hairline fractured a 90-year-old's jaw.
Mate, what can I say? I've told you he's a pestosaurus. Last thing I heard, he was dead.
He's come back from
And you weren't sorry about that?
No, I wasn't. Now, what about the issue around the Origin coach for Queensland, Paul Green?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul Green, do you think he'll get another crack at it?
No, I don't think he will. A lot depends on the result on Wednesday night. But if it continues to go to script the way that it has so far, even if Queensland were somehow to manufacture a miracle classic Maroons against the odds style of a victory, I think all the problems that they've had in this most recent camp, we've seen Jai Arrow get sent home. He's currently in quarantine. A lot of talk going around that Arrow's taken the fall here for a lot of his teammates, and perhaps there's a lot more to this story. So, yeah, I find it hard to see how Greeny gets another crack. And the Queensland media too has been scathing. I think there was a report last weekend in the opening couple of camps, and they didn't miss.
Let me play you the Paul Green audio, speaking of Jai Arrow, and we'll go to the Jai Arrow topic.
Thanks, guys. Just with regard to the Jai Arrow incident, the matter's in the relevant authorities' hands and hasn't been resolved as yet, so we won't be making any further comment at this stage. Any inquiries, please contact the NRL regarding that.
He's virtually said nothing there, Paul Green, and the Jai Arrow thing comes on the back of the Bulldogs thing all into the Dragons thing, and I just can't believe in an Origin camp, of all places, that this could happen again.
It's pretty careless. Look, we've all wondering what's going on up there. The fact that they would put themselves, Jai Arrow. He's dumb mistake. You know, he shouldn't have done it. He knows
Can't
he shouldn't
defend.
Have done. But there should have been better protocols around the club that it couldn't have happened. Around the team, that it couldn't have happened. Around camp, I don't know what the thing is. Every time you see an Origin photo these days, an official photo, there's more staff than there are players.
Mm.
Yeah, like there's 18, 19 players, but by the time you get through all the staff, admittedly there's not in the COVID version of the game that we're experiencing right now, but there's so many people there to do everything. You just wonder why no one actually said, listen, guys, bad idea. Like, there's got to be someone around that can actually say that. Bad idea. Don't do this.
But you'd think a grown man, whether he's a player or a coach, would be able to figure out for himself that that was a bad idea.
Well, he should. He should. And he's cost himself a lot of money. He's cost himself a lot more than money. He's cost himself an Origin appearance. He's cost himself a relationship with his girlfriend, by the sounds of things. The whole thing is ugly, and it's embarrassing for rugby league. It's embarrassing for the NRL. It's embarrassing for people who support the game and have to live with the jibes from people who don't support the game about the buff-headed things these players do. Like, we all get sick of defending these types of behaviours, which just keep coming up again and again and again.
Is there any more to it than we know, do you think, Hoops? What's the latest on it? Is there anything to add?
I found Paul Green's press conference fascinating in that he didn't say a whole lot. He mentioned the relevant authorities. I'm taking by that he means the NRL's integrity unit, and I think that they are still looking at it, you know, and I'm sure that the state governments would both be across whatever is happening. But certainly, there's been a few different suggestions behind the scenes.
The way he treated that press conference at that press conference where he came out, gave a short statement, and then walked away without taking questions, told me he didn't want to be cross-examined. He didn't want to ask questions that he either was going to refuse to answer or didn't want to be caught answering in a way that might come back to bite him.
But the disappointing
That's what happens when you give statements.
And he threw off onto the NRL and said, if you've got any questions, go to them.
You know, I think when you're preparing for an Origin, you need everything to go swinging. And then he walked away and his players had to go and face it. And I know that the questions from the media. And if Paul's our leader, if Paul is our captain at the moment, if he's our coach, if he's the man, he should have taken all that pressure off the players.
He should have taken it on.
That's what should have happened. He should have taken it upon himself so the players could go and prepare properly just for training or whatever they're doing. So I think if Paul had his time all over again, I'm pretty sure he'd do it differently.
What's that say about him as a leader then, Gordy, if he thought that was the right way to handle that?
Yeah, well, I didn't think that he would have. I thought Paul, because he's a quite intelligent guy, you know, I thought that he would have stood there and taken the rap for all of it and taken pressure. You watch Wayne Bennett, you watch Desi Hasler, you know, you watch all those great coaches in the NRL, and they've got a, and then it's about
Wayne
the preparation.
Wayne
and then how you do it
the
with your preparation
door.
Is taking pressure off them so they can prepare like, you know, like it's the biggest game of their life. Mm. And it didn't sort of happen. And I know it's one press conference, but now, you know, the journalists are going to keep on going and talking to the players where he should be there front and centre of it. And I think, you know, with a straight bat or trying to hit him out of the park or whatever he's doing, but he's the guy that should be standing up for us.
All right. Well, the latest news is, if you've just joined us, Origin 3 has changed locations now to the Cbus Stadium on the Gold Coast. But no matter where it is, Triple M will have it for you live on Wednesday night on the listener app or the station you are now listening to. We're going to take a break, come back, take a look at the Roosters Doggies game, and I Call BS is coming up as well as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back, everybody. And, of course, we've only had a couple of games this round because it's a split round. Raiders back on the winning list. 30 over Manly, 16. Souths, 46. Cowboys, 18. Four straight losses now for the Cowboys. Roosters, 22. Dogs, 16. Time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes... I Call BS.
All right, what are the guys calling BS on today? Let's go and start with you, please, Paul Kent.
Oh, look, Anthony, I just want to call BS on what I wrote about in the Telegraph, is this new mentality now that we're sending our Olympic team off to Tokyo and there's no expectation on them to actually win anything. The AOC came out during the week and said that they will no longer be coming out with a goal for medals won at the Games. The athletes have basically said it puts too much pressure on them. I think it's this everyone gets a ribbon mentality is just killing sport. I think it's embarrassing. The very nature of elite sport is pressure and how you handle that pressure. That's what separates the good from the very good and the very good from the great, is how they separate that, how they are able to isolate pressure, how they're able to deal with pressure, how they're able to come through pressure. To think that somebody has this arbitrary number about what medals we should win, and that undoes them mentally, and the athletes are complaining that it puts too much pressure on them, I think it's embarrassing. I think the greatness of the truly elite athletes is that, in many cases, is their resiliency. And an obstacle like putting a medal forecast out shouldn't be enough to be the difference between you performing well or not. And the fact that we indulge these athletes, who are among the most indulged athletes in the world, I will say this, except for Olympic time, there's no athlete more admirable than the Olympic athletes. They train in solitude and in the shadows for the best part of 4 years. But then for the 2 weeks they are at the Games, they are like pampered poodles. They do not have to do anything. They are continually being indulged. And I think it actually comes to the detriment of their performance. And when start getting people to act like men and to act like women and to say, you know what, this is the reality of where you're at. And if you can't deal with it, then perhaps you shouldn't be going to the Olympics. It's just an embarrassing situation.
Is this the first group of athletes that have come through where everybody's got a ribbon?
I'd say so, Gordon. How long has that mentality been around? 10, 15 years? So it's a lot of these people would just, they'd be going, they've come through that. They went to high school and they came, yeah, they might have been the first
the kid
past
that comes
the post.
To ask gets the biggest cheer.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. Look, the Olympics have been going that for, I remember Eric the Eel jumping in the water and everybody cheering, oh, what a great Olympic story. It was embarrassing. It really was. Mm. And for all the, I know people sit there and go, oh, come on, it was great. Yeah, it was great for a one-off, okay? Yeah. Some guy from Africa, never swam, he goes there on the assumption that his country is allowed to have, as a developing country in that area, so they allow him to come in even though he didn't reach the qualifying top.
It was a feel-good story, Paul.
It was a junket.
He nearly drowned.
It was a junket.
He nearly drowned.
And listen,
the lifeguard had to stand up.
The Olympics are not a feel-good event,
yes.
Okay? Mm. The Olympics are the elite, and the minute you start putting in people who are incompetent, again, like I said, Eric the Eel was lucky the lifeguards didn't dive in the pool to get him out. Okay?
Eric the Eel.
But I'll
it was.
He was.
Yes. Well said, Paul.
And this is what happens, though. See, we've lost our way with the Olympics for some time now. They brought it back some years ago where they re-examined how we spent money in the Olympics, and they decided to concentrate the money on the sport, on the sports where we won medals, which was largely swimming. So other sports like boxing, for instance, which I quite like, but which we don't have much, they got very little funding after that because we're not a big chance to win a medal there, so they didn't fund them. But the problem you have, and this is what we've done, we've gone down this road now where the swimmers are performing like they should have been performing, so therefore they're not winning the medals they should have been winning. Mm. So what are we doing with the money? So we're wasting all this money now. And the ability of someone to jump out of the ground that we haven't heard of to go and win a gold medal, we're killing that dream off because we're not funding these people.
Well said, and Hoops, to bring you in, you did a little bit of fencing in high school. You were a pretty good fencer in your time.
No, I did not, Anthony. Speak for yourself.
Right.
And I know that when you were on the fencing and also the Waterloo White Ants debating team, you got the participation ribbon every year.
Well, my dad used to kick in a bit of money at the Waterloo Waratahs. I got most improved one year and hardly played a game. How about that? What would you like to call BS on?
Mate, I'll call BS on Mark Piggy Riddell. So Piggy's decided to jump on the front foot and start shooting from the hip on social media this week, and that's all good. Let me start by saying I like Pig. He's a character. He's a big personality. We like those types of people. But he saw fit after some comments that we had made during the week in a column that I'd written to reference an incident involving myself from 3 years ago where, and I'll put my hand up here, I had way too much to drink, Anthony, surprise, and I lost the jonky, jumped the fence and crashed into the crowd. Made a complete palooka of myself and as a result was charged with malicious damage. Now, fortuitously for me, I was able to beat that charge. That charge was dropped, and as a result, I was able to rebuild myself personally and professionally. And thankfully, I had a lot of support from mates, family, and everybody else around me at that time. Now, I don't understand why Pig, you know, he thinks he's taken a couple of shots off the hip by saying, "Oh, glass houses, champ," all that sort of thing. That's fine. Go as hard as you want in that respect, but he doesn't seem to have grasped the fact that he lives over the road from Paul Vaughan. He's trying to defend Paul Vaughan on social media, yet then he's collecting a damn good earn out of being in the media. And the reason why we have to have his forthright opinions is what we do working in the media is because if you don't, you won't last long. Mm. That's how it works. So I find it hypocritical that he doesn't want to. He's happy to collect a couple of hundred a year from 2GB and Channel 9 network, but he doesn't want to actually, he didn't really want to weigh into the Paul Vaughan story because he's one of his mates, and I understand that you're always going to defend your mate. I get that. Mm-hmm. I respect that. I don't have a problem with it, but I just feel as though he's now fighting fires on a variety of different fronts. He's at war with Buzz Rothfield. He's having a crack at Buzz after a column that Buzz has written today now on social media. He's at war with, from what I'm told, lots of other people who are on social media as well about various things. And he's at war with one of the biggest heavyweights in the Australian media at the moment. So he probably wants to tread a bit careful.
Are you talking about me when you say one? but just to be clear, because yes, pigs are made of all of ours.
I like Piggy. He's a character. He's a personality.
Go from the start. The Paul Vaughan thing happened.
He jumped on social media and made out it was more like the Sound of Music than the Hangover, and he'd witnessed the whole thing, and the players were all perfectly behaved, and that it was essentially a media beat-up. Now, as we now know, Dufty's taken off when the Johnny Hoppers arrived because he knew he was doing the wrong thing. He's run 5 kilometres home. Jack the Ballon's hiding under a bed. There's other blokes in cupboards. They've then told Porky's on top of Porky's, right? Say what you want about me. Like I said, I got me faults, and I'll wear my wounds and cuts and nicks and whatnot. But I just feel as though him trying to pretend that nothing had happened, he's just way out of line. He's missed the whole point. So Piggy went on social media, said there was nothing doing. I witnessed a whole lot. Six again play on, should just all be swept under the rug. A lot of people called him out. I then wrote a column saying that, you know, a lot of people have taken a dim view of the way that he's tried to handle himself. He jumped back at me straight away on social media, glass houses champ. And like I said, referenced an incident from 3 years ago where I'd made a pelican of myself, and it's gone from there. And then he's had a massive crack at Buzz Rothfield today because Buzz has obviously doubled down in his column and suggested similar to what we've just discussed now, and Piggy's decided to throw back at him again. So he's got plenty going on at the moment, the Pig.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you and my man, the Pig, into the Star Buffet at Bankstown RSL. We're going to break bread and sort this out. Now, would you, Gordon, like to call BS?
They were two good ones.
Mine's a little bit softer. Good. Well done there, boys.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I do a lot of the shopping because my wife works full time. And the other day, she goes, "Do we need anything?" She was driving home from work. I said, "Yeah, look, we just need some bread in the morning. We need some food for Billy, and some milk would be fantastic." So she got all that kind of stuff. And then she got home, and about 2 days later, I went to open up the fridge, and there was only like just an inch of milk left. I said, "Did we use all that milk? Did you put the milk in the fridge?" She goes, yeah, cool. About 2 days later, I get into a little grocery, grab a car. She's left the milk in there. So it stinks. It must appear. Oh, my God. So because we don't use that car often. It's the second car. Wow. So then I've had to drive around in it for about 6 hours the next day to go do some chores. And it's got an off bottle of milk underneath the passenger side seat.
Well,
so I don't know. I actually don't know how to get rid of it. So
just take it back to Frizzell's and get another one. Bob's your own.
No. This is a car I own.
Okay. Oh, this is what you have to pay for. That's a rookie error.
Yes. Boys, I was going to call BS on this, but I think it's worth having just a little bit of an open chat about it with you, the experts. Last night, we called the Roosters game. 10 seconds ago, Sam Walker catches the ball, takes off towards his own try line at a million miles an hour, and he just kept running and running and running. It reminded me of the old days at Redfern Oval. They'd kick the ball out in a Redfern Park. I'd just pick it up and run home. What did you think of that? I thought it was a bad look.
Absolutely. I think Trent Robinson's head and body language in the coach's box as it was unfolding told the story. So he looked as though the lemon spread could have combusted at any minute. It was going all a variety of different shades of red. Boyd Cordner, I think, was sitting next to him. I'm pretty sure he shook his head at the time. Luke Keary was on the other side. He looked a bit perplexed as well. Look, Sammy's only a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah, we
kid,
love the
know?
Kid. Like, we love just, him. Yeah.
I get what he's trying.
Yeah, okay. I get what he's trying. But, you know, we hear Robbo often, Kenty, talk about Roosters football and the style of football that he likes his team to promote at all times. Well, that wasn't anything near that.
It was clever what Sam Walker did, okay? He just ran the time out on the clock by make it basically impossible for anything to happen because he ran away from the defence 90 metres backwards. But it was embarrassing for the game. I don't think that's what the game wants it to be. Where I seem to remember Tony Iroh did it back in the 90s for the Adelaide Rams. It didn't run anywhere near as far as what Sam Walker did, and he got a bit of a rap across the knuckles. And okay, mate, you did it, got away with it, but don't do it again. I think you could actually penalise that for a professional foul. because you're not engaging in the contest. So I think the game's got to look at it and just say, listen, guys, we know what you're trying to do. We understand the thinking behind it, but it's just not what we want our game to be.
Yeah,
it's just something you don't want to. It would be embarrassing now if you get to the stage in a game where there's 45, 50 seconds left, which is generally enough for one full set of six, and the team just slowly drift backwards, back until they finally run the ball over their dead ball line and use up all 40 seconds. Mm. And we start to get the stage. Because once you know, I've said it 1,000 times, once somebody gets a cough, they've all got a cold. So every other team will be looking at this now, and when it's the last minute of the game, they'll be saying, we need to, okay, why can't we just do this to kill time and give no risk that we're going to lose the ball and surrender the game? So the game's got to come in and say, listen, guys, if you do it, it'll be a professional foul, you'll be penalised, and the opposition get the ball.
Okay, and the other one too.
Time gets put back on the clock.
Another one I don't like, and again, I'm a massive Sam Walker fan too. Another one I don't like is the week before we saw Manly flogging the Dogs 66-0, and Tommy had scored about half a dozen tries. Mm. He didn't need to score another one, so he threw it to his brother Ben over the try line for a try.
Yeah.
Ben only had to fall. That try was disallowed, but I don't like that either. I think, like, that's very disrespectful to the opposition.
No, now you're being a narc. Well, see, I agree. You agree with Maroon?
Yep.
Okay.
I agree because you know why? Because the NRL pull $30 million a year now minimum out of betting agencies, and a lot of people take bets on the market. And if you're going to start doing that, you're
jeopardising the integrity of the competition?
Not the competition, but it's got a grubby element to it. Yeah. It's got a,
and they're brothers, like.
And so if you'd back Tom Trbojevic saying, right, you know what,
Manly bloke who backed Tom Trbojevic to score three tries in that game and had Jason Saab three tries as well.
Okay, and what if he'd had four tries and Jason Saab three?
Then he wouldn't have been real happy.
Then he wouldn't have been. And that's
the point.
You've disrupted the integrity of the contest.
And there's no doubt that it was innocent, and his brother, and he's young, 100%. And he's
playing for
his fifth game or something. I get all that.
Yep.
But it's probably a grey area that we don't need into the game where teams and players will start doing it, and it's not the look.
There was
that
a rumour going around some years back that a team had backed their winger to score to win the leading point scorer, try scorer for the season. And in the last few games, it's frightening the amount of ball that went down his side. Mm. Mm. And tries he did score.
Yes, well.
So, and this is where, see, if this was in the racing industry, where you pulled
jersey?
Up to give an apprentice jockey a win because he hadn't won a race yet, no, but I just felt sorry for him, you would be skinned alive. And so the integrity of the competition is the one thing you should not jeopardise here. And for all the other parts, I don't think, you know, Ben Trbojevic actually felt like he earned the try.
No.
When it basically got handed to him. So as nice a gesture it was from brother to brother, the fact is it disrupts the integrity of the game and it leaves the game open to accusations of the that are unsavoury, and we don't need it. And when there is so much money and the NRL's copping the money now off the betting agencies to be able to use their IP and all the rest of it, then the NRL's actually got to come back the other way and maintain that integrity and purity in contest.
All right, Hoops, would you like to add anything before we go to the break?
Good to see the boys just getting around you, Anthony.
Yeah, no,
bit
it's
support,
it's,
eh? You often
amazing.
Say
it's,
you never get anything
well,
on this.
Well, it's just because
no
it's
love
the truth.
At all. Look
can
at
I
it.
Just say, too, Dustin Poirier won the UFC fight.
He's beaten McGregor, has he?
McGregor broke his ankle in the first round.
Oh, that's disappointing.
All right, boys, we're going to take
easy
a break.
Way out.
We're
not disappointing if you back Poirier to win by knockout, Hoops. See, this is my point.
Oh, well, here we go. Mate, since when do we play the game for betting agencies?
We're going to take a break, boys. We'll come back, talk about a little bit more about that Roosters-Doggies game and Maroon Confidential with a brand new host, James Triceps Hooper.
It's back.
As Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back, everybody. Raiders 30, Manly 16, South 46, Cowboys 18, Roosters 22, Dogs 16. There's a big game this afternoon between the Sharks and the Warriors. That might have some impact on the top eight in the next few weeks. Paul Kent, James Hooper, so too Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Ryan Girdle will join us after three, but right now it's time for this.
Psst. This is Maroon Confidential.
Well, we've got a new person doing Maroon Confidential. I mean, every week I did it came in for some criticism. I was encouraged to do it. I never, ever wanted to do it, and I got criticized. Too many of them are on a plane. Too many of them are at the airport. Too many they're in cafes. Unsubstantiated. So, Hoops, you're the expert. Now, it's like when one of those big radio jocks go on holidays and the show's still called the same thing even though they're not there. It's Maroon Confidential with Hoops.
So you've stood yourself down.
I've stood myself down because I can't handle the criticism.
Okay.
I mean, I went home and looked through my contract, which is about a page and a half long, and nowhere in there could I see anywhere it says I've got to do this segment.
All right. Well, I've been out and about in Redfern and Waterloo, and I've been speaking to all your usual suspect style of contacts. I've spoken to Victor the Vessel.
Right.
Jake the Snake Rodriguez, who I know is a very good, close, personal friend of yours.
He's going all right since he got out, too. Don't worry about that.
He's going okay, yes.
One foot in front of the other. He's found some sort of work.
Our man Jake has recently purchased a second-hand booster seat through Gumtree.
Right.
And lo and behold, when he's rocked up at the Northern Beaches address, this relates to one of Triple M's finest and very own, it's the Girdler household. So he gets on the premises and he's having a little look around, and Ryan's wife's killing him with kindness, being really polite and friendly.
She's lovely.
As he's collecting the seat, he gets a little bit shocked because he observes what he describes. He said it can only be described as a residential garage converted into a lovemaking den.
And this is at Ryan's place.
He said there was matting on the floor, there were mirrors everywhere, and there was a very strange-looking swing hanging from the ceiling.
Right, right.
So this is the sort of thing that gets brought to the table on Maroon Confidential. Girds will be on shortly.
It's also 2:45 on a Sunday afternoon.
So we'll...
Girds will be on shortly, so we'll be allowed to check and clarify. Now, next up, you've been spotted yourself, Anthony.
Right.
Spotted.
Where you at?
Last night. At the Wimbledon final.
Oh, is that
Ash
right?
Barty. Ash Barty. Mate, you're in the box with Prince William and Princess Kate.
That's why you're late into work today.
Yes,
and
yes.
And Martina Navratilova.
Yeah, I went over there. But the Triple M chopper that took you to Newcastle got me back here today.
Just in time.
I'm very grateful. And what else have you got for us, Hoops?
We got another spotted. Spotted last night out at the Bulldogs and Roosters game. Another good friend of the Triple M family, Brent Reed. And obviously everybody with the COVID protocols at the moment, everybody's masked up. Reedy's got this little vent on his mask that he sort of opens and closes and pulls the mask in and out as he's having a yak. And I said, mate, why you got to do that? He said, oh, because otherwise my glasses fog up. And then so I walked past him a couple of minutes later and it looked as though he was watching a bit of aerobics Oz style.
He loves that aerobics Oz style.
On his iPhone just before the game started. And he was, opening and closing the mask.
What's the go with the aerobics Oz style?
I don't know. He's always been a fan.
Because he asked me.
Since he was a young man.
He asked me in my old VHS collection, have I got any videos of the Rankin sisters? And if you're old enough to remember, the Rankin sisters used to come on Channel 10 at about 6 in the morning and do aerobics, like around about the time of Jane Fonda.
Are they related to Jordan Rankin?
I think they're his aunties, actually. But anyway, I was able to find some and I doubled it over and dubbed a copy and got it away for him, and he's loving it. And anything else you've got from Maroon Confidential?
Yeah, look, like we said earlier, the NRL Integrity Unit just continuing to investigate that situation out of the Maroon State of Origin camp. So stay tuned. Victor the Vessel has been all over that around the streets of Redfern. He is telling people that he's convinced there could be more to the story. So stay tuned.
And what about Victor the Vessel? He's got that mask on, but you can still get a whiff of his breath, can't you?
Oh, it's 50 Alsatians. Fair digging.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the Doggies Roosters game and other matters pertinent to the great game of rugby league as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. Ryan Girdler will join us after 3 o'clock today. Conor McGregor has lost his fight. We'll get you some audio from the press conference very shortly. Stand by for that. Right now we're talking about the Doggies lost last night. But before we do, I can confirm, of course, that they have signed Matt Dufty to the Doggies on a one-year deal. So Dufty will go to the Dogs. Pengai Jr. they're negotiating with, obviously, Burton and Addo Carr will be there in 2022 and beyond. What do you think of some of the players they've signed, Paul?
I find it interesting that they've signed Dufty. I know Trent Barrett was talking last night after the game and said he brings X factor, which he certainly does. But they'd signed Josh Addo Carr to play fullback for next season. Mm. I don't know where Dufty's going to play or whether Addo Carr is now in for a rude awakening and is going to be told he's actually going to be shifted to the wing. But they've paid fullback money for Addo Carr. I don't know what the idea is behind giving Dufty just a one-year deal, whether it was at Dufty's request or whether it was the club's request. So we're still trying to figure that out. So overall, I think it's a positive for the club. But I don't quite understand it from a point of building the club other than it's just a grab for talent and for that little bit of X factor, which they certainly need. The Dogs are a club that struggles to score. Dufty will fix that. So overall, yeah, good signing.
Mm. And negotiating or talking with Tevita Pangai Jr., is this the sort of player they want in for their culture? Is he the right player?
Yeah, look, Tevita Pangai is still young. Still learning his way, and he's had a bit of a kick up the backside with his Brisbane experience. So it can go one of two ways now, and this is probably, you could argue this is the wake-up call that Pangai needed, that he's coasted through his entire junior career and all the way to NRL level on his talent, and that's always been enough for him. And I think what's happened at the Broncos has been a bit of a wake-up call, mate, that you actually do need to work hard.
Mm.
And the harder you work, the more successful you're going to be. So over to you. And Canterbury will certainly be impressing that upon him. And it's now up to him to see whether he takes it. It's going to go one of two ways. He's going to be one hell of a player, or he's going to be one of the great wasted talents. And it's all up to him now.
Yeah, Tevita on his day is as good as anybody. It's just his inconsistencies. I suppose he plays one good game every four or five, which gets you so excited because he can dominate a game of footy with and without the football, you know. And when he wants to compete, sometimes if there's something, he just tries for the big play too many times instead of doing the little one percenters. If he can get the one percenters into his game, he's an asset anywhere.
That's
but
discipline,
at the moment,
Gordon.
And that is discipline.
And that's what he needs to learn. And that's what he's going to have to learn. See, when you've got players who are extremely talented like him, you don't coach the talent. You've got to coach fundamentals. And you've got to coach those one percenters that Gordon spoke about, that ability to just make sure you run the right line when you've got the ball. Make sure that you get back in, you know, proper position defensively. Chase on kick chase, all those little 1% of things that the great players, you see Payne Haas doing so much of it at Brisbane, that they're the areas that he's really got to apply himself. He can do the exceptional through his own talent. That just comes out of him.
You admire your teammates for their talent and what they can do, like a Greg Inglis, but you respect them for the work that they do for you. And, you know, that's what, you know, Dave Taylor was the perfect example of it. I think he's had more talent than any other forward that I've ever seen play the game, and he never reached his potential.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's put a couple of K on too. Have you seen a photo of Dave Taylor? By geez, he's stacked some weight on. I'm not fat shaming him though, Hoops, before you say that.
No.
It's his life.
I hope not, Anthony.
It's his life to do what he likes with it.
He's the only bloke that gets on the scales and they say, get off.
Now, boys, Payne Haas got a mention earlier. This talk of a 10-year deal at Broncos for $1 million a year over 10 years. Now, it's less than 12 months ago with the issue with Payne Haas blowing up at the police on the border during COVID, which I find absolutely, that still leaves a really bad taste in my mouth about Payne Haas. And here he is being rewarded with a $10 million contract.
Yeah, look, surprise, surprise. The agents who are negotiating this deal are the same agents who did Daly Cherry Evans's deal with the Manly Seagulls, who did Jason Tormalolo's deal with the North Queensland Cowboys. They love doing these long-term, big-money contracts for superstar players. I think it's fraught with danger. Look, Payne Haas, you listen to players like James Graham, who we all like and respect immensely. He says Payne Haas is the best prop forward in the game.
I think it's a good deal.
Yeah?
I think it's smart.
Why? It's smart, because is it? How's the Tom Lolo one going for the Cowboys?
Yeah, well, I think Payne
Haas. How's the Cherry Evans one's gone for Manly?
Well, it's no, done no, okay.
Hey, hold on. Tom Lolo's got five Player of the Years.
Yeah.
Five.
Well, is what as part of this deal? He hasn't been on the deal for 5 years.
Well, he's only been whatever on the deal for, he's certainly a player of the year. The other thing is, and you talked to Cherry Evans. Cherry Evans was not the length of his deal. It was the fact that it was tied to the salary cap, yes, which has taken up so much.
Yeah.
But the fact is,
which is more pointed out these agents.
Yeah, but talent moves so easily around the competition now, and Payne Haas is a franchise player and potentially has the ability to change the way the game is played. Certainly his position. Yeah.
How old is he now? What is he, 21?
I don't think he would be. Would he be that old yet?
Okay, he's not
even. I don't know. Look, he's early. Look, certainly not 2021. He's just look that up for me, Anthony. Can you
Gordon,
check
I
that?
I just look at all those blokes that you wore the jumper with, right? Yourself, yeah. Webke, Lazarus, none of Petro. None of them ever did a deal of that
no,
length.
Because they
you
weren't
know?
Around.
And I'm not saying that they don't.
Listen,
the players were changing clubs so quickly.
That happens, and it wasn't, you know, the managers shopping you around every 5 seconds of the day to, you know, to line their pockets. You know, once you did the deal, they did the deal. I did 2 5-year deals.
Okay.
I've just received
so, like, and I did do 2 5. So, you know, I think Temalolo, when it first came out, I went, oh, I reckon he's cheap now. You know, if Temalolo come off contract now, someone would pay him $1 million.
I don't think they're, to your point from earlier in the season, I don't think they're getting bang for buck out of him the way that
they're using him
at the moment. Mm. You know, he's only playing minimal minutes, and often by the time, like, look at that game the other night. Mm. By the time, I'm fair dinkum.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
By the time he got back on the other night, the horse had bolted. The game was gone. So, and like, I respect and understand why Todd Payton says, I need to look after Jace, and I need to look after the long-term interests of the club. But you got to be coaching to win every game.
Payne Haas is 21. I can just confirm we've just got a text from your big boss at Fox. They want to sign you up for a 10-year deal too. 10 years for $350,000 over the 10 years.
Oh, that's overs.
Anyway, Paul, we'll see you on NRL 360.
I'm done, am I?
Yeah, you're just about done. And say good day to anyone on. Does anyone, does Vonnie ever say good day to Maroon or anything like that?
I don't think she knows who you are.
No, I don't think she does.
To be rude.
Well, you got to stay 300 metres away from her.
But anyway, it's going good. Poor old Benny Eichen's not there anymore, but it's still flying along.
Yeah, show's going okay. It's a different show, and we've got to get used to the fact that it's a different dynamic. But I think overall, I think she's doing a terrific job.
Absolutely.
Well, it was a great
we
get during
her.
The week, the
we
Paul Horn interview.
Yeah, it was.
And the ratings have been strong. So,
and as I think, from what I'm hearing, that they nearly knocked the doors down up there to get Reedy back on the show.
Yes, they did. Just, yeah, he's a hugely popular member of the side.
He
and
in,
it's great to see him back.
He walked in like a dog with two tails the other day. He was wagging. He should have seen him. He had a strut.
I heard the girls from Aerobics Hostel said, we'll strike. We'll strike until Reedy comes back.
Just on Vonnie.
They're not that keen to see him, to be honest, Anthony.
She has often said to me, I love that Sunday show that you blokes do on the radio, but she also always asks, but who is that maroon bloke?
Well, we've done a function together at the racecourse, so we're old mates.
Okay.
Let's take a break.
You're just easily forgettable.
And yeah, and we'll come back with Ryan Girdler, and we'll catch you tomorrow night on NRL 360.
See ya.
Triple M.
Triple M rocks the footy. The Sunday sin bin for Sea-Doo. Susie sells seashells by the seashore. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.